are, because they really like what you do, but they're not happy.
That's what I'm saying. They know
because they can't do it. That's the way. All right, we're going to Levi Edwards now. Enough of the philosophy. We're going to Levi Edwards from Raiders.com, who joins us every Thursday. Levi, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you, Scott?
Good, man. All right, let's dive in on this Broncos-Raiders game. We look at three things that we should watch for in this matchup from you. What are the Raiders, number one, what's the first key here for the Raiders to go out and have a successful day on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium?
Obviously, I'll just go with the first thing that they have to do, and it's something that they've been able to be successful at this whole season, in my opinion, and that's making sure that they continue to defeat the run game. I know that they have the tendency to try to get more involved in the passing game if they feel that a game is too close or if the run game is kind of getting stopped up. But I feel that they have to continue the philosophy of making sure that they have all of their offensive linemen on the same page. We've been seeing great production from Gabe Jackson, Rodney, Denzel. He's stepped up, and this is just all obvious, but really I'm just excited to see the run game really explode, not just because Josh Jacobs is amazing, not because Alec Ingold with two broken ribs is going to play, but we all know this is going to be the revenge game for Devontae Booker, and we all want to see Devontae Booker get the rock. I was a huge Devontae Booker guy when he was in Denver, and then he started losing carries to guys like Phillip Lindsay and other running backs that they had. And it was kind of confusing to me at the time. However, it doesn't really matter at this point because now he's a Raider and he's having a great productive season. So got to feed the run game. They also got to worry about Noah Fant. Noah Fant is a top-tier tight end. I believe he's fifth in the NFL amongst tight ends for yards after carry with 200. So he can really do some good things. Of course, he's a little banged up right now, but Kotowski, Littleton, those guys, they're going to have to make sure that they keep him in check because Locke is going to be looking for him a lot throughout the game. And another big matchup that I'm really looking forward to is the battle of the two Alabama receivers. I had a lot of experience, and I had a great time watching Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs just tear up everybody when they were in Crimson Tide. And so really, it's going to be cool to see them play against each other. Jerry Jeudy's already established himself as the number one receiver for his team. So Henry Ruggs is still, I guess you could say, the word developing. So I really want to see how they go at each other, because I know they're going to come out and they're going to be like, oh, it's not really that big of a deal. We're just out here trying to have fun and do the best for the team. But I feel like it's a little bit of a competitiveness behind it, you know. When you have two guys from the same school, you have one that is drafted at 11, you have another guy that's drafted at 15, and they're division rivals, you kind of want to stack up against each other and be like, look, you know, which one of us is going to be the future of this league at this receiver spot? And those are battles that they definitely probably already had in school. So it's going to be cool to just see both offenses go down the field and see which receiver kind of has a bigger day.
As far as the defense goes and what the number one priority should be, of course, Drew Lock is a guy who's mobile. He can, you know, extend plays. He can move the pocket around. What would you think is the number one factor? What's the number one thing the Raiders need to do defensively in this game?
They really got to make sure that they tighten it up in the secondary. Of course, this is it's hilarious because every week, week in, week out, everybody's talking about we need to rush the passer, rush the passer, rush the passer. We're not getting enough sacks. We're not doing enough. Like, we need people to step up, and that's cool. You know, Raider Nation is always going to say that. That's fine. You can always rush the passer a little better. But you have three young guys who I've seen make really big plays in terms of Jeudy, in terms of K.J. Hamler, and in terms of Noah Fant at that tight end position. Those three guys are a problem, and they're going to be a problem. Not to mention that Melvin Gordon is also a very versatile running back, and he can catch some passes out in the flat, do some things out in open space as well. So you have to make sure that secondary is tight as it can be. So you have Trayvon Mullen, who came back to practice today. That's a big plus. You have guys that like Damon Arnette, and we still don't know if he's going to play. But if he does, then that can only be beneficial to that secondary. You have Jonathan Abram, who's a dog. We don't have to talk about Jonathan Abram. You know he's going to come and show up and do what he always is going to do. But that secondary really has to make sure that they not only get key production from those guys, but from the linebacker core, like I already said. They got to make sure they have Nevin Lawson on the same page. We saw Isaiah Johnson have the game of his life, come up with two of the biggest plays of his life. So we need to see more snaps from Isaiah Johnson, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got, of course, Coach Gruden earlier in the week, Levi, said that, oh, it's going to take Isaiah a little time to work his way in for more playing time. And then, of course, you heard Coach Gunther today say you're going to see a lot more Isaiah Johnson. So I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle on that one as they get set for Sunday. But when you look at, too, we heard from Tom Cable today, Levi, which, you know, Coach Cable, he's a hard-working lunch pail guy. He's not a guy who talks to the media a lot. But we played some of his clips earlier, and that offensive line. I know we talked about it with you, I think, the last 2 weeks, but what he's been able to do there, we had Brandon Parker on the show earlier in the week. Those guys right now, as they get closer to getting back to full steam, to me, still, along with Derek Carr, still the story on that offensive side of the ball.
Most definitely. Tom Cable, he's honestly, in my opinion, kind of like the Nick Swanson. The Nick Swanson of offensive line coaches, just very hard-nosed, very, very just grinded-out kind of guy.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
It does, absolutely.
And so what he's been able to do with the offensive line this year has been astonishing. And he's really shout-out to my man Eddie Pascal, who's one of our podcast guys for Raiders.com, but something that I heard him say a couple weeks ago is that Tom Cable has probably earned his money the most out of any of these coaches so far this year. And I totally 100% agree. He has been able to take guys like Brandon Parker, who you were talking to earlier this week, and really be able to make him shine, and take guys like John Simpson, and has been able to develop him so immensely in this rookie season, just coming out of Clemson. Just people like that. Denzel, we've already talked a lot about Denzel, but he's really been able to rally that line, and they really do truly have that next man up mentality. And it's just kind of like, you hear it as such a cliche, because it's kind of like, okay, well, you have to tell yourself this to make sure that you're always staying ready and you're always staying on your toes. But it's at a point now where it's like they're about it. Like, they're about it when it comes to the offensive line. Ooh. Like, it really doesn't matter at this point who they're going to put on that line. I feel like they're all prepared as if they're starters. And so hopefully things will just continuously get better. They'll get Colton back. They'll get Richie back. Trent will come back sometime. But at this point in juncture in this season, 5-3, and you have Josh Jacobs, who's a top five rusher in the league this season, and you have Derek Carr, who has only been sacked, you know, he's been sacked about 14 times, but his QBR is 110, 16 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. You know, it's
pretty good.
It's astonishing how this offensive line has been able to play.
Yeah, no, they've done a really good job. And, you know, I know the stats don't show anything and won't prove any point, but Clelin Ferrell, in my opinion, has been playing pretty stinking good this year.
No, Clelin Ferrell he's a boss. And once again, one of those guys kind of out of Clemson, everybody was like, oh, why would you draft this guy too high? And, of course, me as a big, you know, big Southeast football guy, I saw a lot of him in college. And, of course, Devin White, a lot of Raider fans are still a little ticked off about Devin White going at 5, and he's been having the career he's been having. But Clelin, like you said, is a top defensive end in this league, and the stats don't show it, but he really, truly is. Him and Max Crosby are a problem. And the things that he just does in terms of getting after the quarterback, the hurries, the pressures, you know, everybody just thinks about sacks and thinks about numbers and tackles, but, like, he just does so many things that if you watch on film, you know why the Raiders are winning games.
Yeah, no doubt. You could see it. No, it's great. And Levi, you look at this. We've been also talking a lot this week about home field advantage, and it's hard with no fans. You look at the top records of teams in the AFC with home records, winning home records. Most of them have had some fans in the stands. How are the Raiders going to go into this Allegiant Stadium now this week and really start to make it a place that opponents don't want to play in?
That's a great question. I've thought about that, and it's kind of like a running joke I have with myself, where it's like, okay, so we've had three home games, and so of course I can't travel with the team this season, so I watch all the home games, I watch all the away games from the stadium with my coworkers, and every single away game that's not in the stadium has just been the most intense, nail-biting, like, classic games. And I'm just like, okay, I get to watch these games in an empty stadium on a monitor. And then, you know, we have two losses at home and the beatdown of the Saints, essentially. And that was a great game. So, honestly, I think it has to do with the factor that their away games are still kind of home games, because a lot of those games where they've gone on the road have been against teams that are allowing like limited capacity in their stadium. And Raiders fans, you know how Raiders fans are. They are one of the most diehard fan bases in the league, and that's why I love them. So they travel with the team. Mm-hmm. They'll travel. They've traveled to Cleveland. They've traveled to Kansas City. So they really get out there and really show love for the team. So I guess time will tell in terms of making sure that they make it more into a home field advantage, because it is their home. And, of course, fans coming will be a lot easier to really assert that dominance on your field. As far as I'm concerned, they really just got to make sure that they bring the same intensity they bring on the road. They just got to bring that same intensity at home. And I guess, yeah. Scott, I guess me and you need to be screaming a little louder from the press box.
Oh, no screaming in the press box.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe
they have some love.
Get some will going there. All right, Levi Edwards, Raiders.com. Make sure you go over to the website and read them. Levi, thanks, man. We'll see you on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Q.
All right, there you go, Levi Edwards. Good stuff. Okay, we're going to take
You guys be screaming in the press box?
No. You know what happened, though?
That's rule number one, brother.
That's rule number one. The first game, though, there were people up there because they had a little bit of an overfilled crowd. There was, I think, some people the team invited, and they were up there cheering. And, of course, all of us who know the first cardinal sin of the press box is cheering in the press box. We just kept turning around going, who the hell is that?
Right.
Who's making noise? No-no. Who's cheering? Yep. It is a definite no-no. But I get what Levi's saying there. He wants to will the team to do better at home, which I understand.
You can just think it.
Yes, just think it. The power of positive thought. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to the caller. Gangster Raider, here's our man. He's on hold. He's coming up next after the break. And then we'll get to the Q-tip as well. You're listening to Silver and Black today on this Thursday from the capital of Raider Nation. That, of course, Las Vegas, Nevada, only on Raider Nation Radio.